Right, Matt? Right? Okay. Ephesians 3, 6 through 21. You can read it, say it, try it, whatever. We'll work on it. I'm getting worse as I go along. Ephesians 3, 6 through 21. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, according to effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the ship of the mystery, the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus Christ. To the intent now that unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, Lord, whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I do you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3, 6 through 21. Okay, well, next week we start in verse 4, this week. So, let's keep working. And I realize that those of you that are younger, no problem, you got it all down. But we will have this chapter finished by the summertime, so that will be a blessing. Okay, the fellows are passing out the lesson, and today we're going to talk about some principles of budgeting, and we're going to talk about that. Maybe we should have a, you know, survey of how many people have a budget. That would be good, wouldn't it? Have a survey of how many people have a budget. Huh?
I need one.
Okay, you need one. Never happens unless you do it. Okay, let's have some prayer. And Heath Kreckelberg, lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. We thank you for the privilege to look into your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct us through your word this morning. Give Pastor the word of the words to say, and strengthen us, Lord, now through your word in Christ's name.
Amen. Okay, any verse in the Bible that tells us that verse that gives us even a hint of the idea of a budget?
Maybe
Do everything decently and in order. That's a good one. God is orderly. Okay. Orderly use of that which he gives us. Another one. Verse in the Bible.
Servant wasted his master's goods.
Servant wasted his master's goods. Okay. That's a good verse. Kind of talks about a budget, doesn't it? Or lack of it. Yes. Okay. First day of the week, let a man give as he purposeth in his heart. Well, purpose, that is planned ahead, isn't it? Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about budgeting. And the budget expert isn't here, so I feel a little bit at ease now. I don't have to have him fix up what I mess up. But okay, I'm talking about Pastor Hatchett. Okay. Pardon me?
You told me to take good notes.
Oh. I planned this purposely. I knew I did forget he wasn't going to be here today. Okay. So a budget. A predetermined plan of spending or an allotment of income for specific categories that determine or limit spending or appropriate income to certain categories. A predetermined plan of spending or an allotment of income. If you look on Google on a Christian site, they will give you all sorts of forms of how much percentage of your income should be spent on different things. And they will tell you such and such amount of your income should be spent on housing, such and such amount of your income should be spent on insurance, such and such. And so they'll divide that all up into 100%, okay, of what you have for income, and they'll tell you how much. In fact, if you go to a bank and you try to get a loan, they will tell you, they will determine from your finances if you can afford to buy a home, except if you are a minority or some other person, then that doesn't work. But they will tell you if you have enough money to be able to get a loan or to be able to afford a house. And they, I don't know what that used to be, but it used to be like 30% or 25% of your income. They would say that is the allotment that you have for mortgage, insurance, and taxes for a house. And if you don't fit in that category, well, then you're not supposed to get a loan, everything else being equal. Okay. So we're going to talk about some principles of budgeting. We'll try to go over these quickly, and then we'll... So let's look at a bunch of verses here. First principle of self-discipline. Let's turn there. And I realize all of these things are much more difficult if your income is almost zero. Okay, that one is not right. It's supposed to have the real one here. Oh, okay, well, that's what it says, too. We'll have to skip that one. I'll get there sooner or later. Or is that 16? Okay, verse 16, that's one. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. What does it mean in this case to be strong? Proverbs 11:16. Strong men retain riches. Self-disciplined. Okay. All right? So what's the opposite of self-discipline? Just untied my shoe, so you got to let me tie it. Self-discipline is, the lack of self-discipline is modeled by Walmart and their displays. You go there and you see all the things that you never knew that you needed. And you see this great price and you are convinced that you need to buy it now. Okay? That's the opposite. And so, okay? Strong men retain riches. A principle of preparing for the future. Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So when does the ant prepare for the future? Okay, when the goods are there. All right. So there's a preparation for the future. Okay. Do you have an emergency fund? Will emergencies ever come? Okay. If you don't have an emergency fund, what will you do when you have an emergency?
Pray.
Well, you will pray, but you wonder if God will answer the prayer according to Proverbs 1. You know, he says, I will laugh when your calamity cometh. Okay? Because sometimes emergencies come, but we're supposed to be, you know, if we can't get prepared for them, that's one story. But if we can get prepared for them and we refuse to, then what are the options? Of course, the mercy of God. But, okay, preparing for the future. Principle of, we talked about the principle of stewardship. Colossians 1:16 is a good verse. All things were created by him and what? For him. All right? And we won't stop there. Principle of God's provision for our needs. Turn to Philippians 4:19. Says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised to provide our needs. All right. Now, how do you? So there needs to be a determination of what your needs are. Now, when we have a church budget. The church budget always includes the need to go forward. What happens if a church doesn't go forward? It's going to start dying. And so part of a church budget, it has to, a pastor or the men and the people have to have some vision and say, these are our needs. Okay? Okay? And that has to be a part of your budget. Okay? And if you look at it, then you can also pray. All right? This is a legitimate need. Lord, you promised to provide our needs. Okay? Sometimes needs are beyond just staying alive. if you know what I'm saying. Okay? Five, principle of spiritual usefulness. Okay, here's a couple important verses. Luke 16:11. It says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Now, we'll get to this a little bit, but here's a principle here. A budget is a means of determining how useful you can be to God in the future. You ever thought of it that way? A budget is determined how God will use you in the future. And a budget says, if you say, I want to be used of God in the future, well, then you're going to have to figure your budget around that principle. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? We'll get there a little bit. We'll apply it a little bit. The principle of guarding and guiding the heart. Turn to Matthew 6:21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, that's a good principle. Where do you want your heart, your spiritual heart, to be in 20 years? You know, your budget determines that. Okay? Let's put it in a simple way, a different way, okay? How could you... I think it's easier to put it in different ways, but... let's say that... how would I... I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, because it may not be real good, but... okay, so here you have your child, and they're saving money. Okay? And just say they're 2 years old, and they're saving money now to buy a car. Okay? Saving money. So now, from 2 years old on, they're saving money to buy a car. Okay? What are they looking forward to? Buying a car. Okay. What if at 2 years old they start a Bible college fund? Now what are they looking forward to? They're looking forward to going to Bible college. That budget has a tremendous bearing on what will their heart will be like in 16 years, doesn't it? Just by one simple act of budgeting. So if you could put in your budget something that you're always looking forward to. And that can determine what you're going to be looking forward to in the next 20 years. And I can't think of a good illustration of that, but it's a principle. Okay? The seventh principle, the principle of needing God's blessing. That's a good one. Malachi chapter 3. It says, bringing all the tithes, verse 10, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay? So, what do you need in your life? I was just reading that verse in Proverbs about, it says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. But the labor of the wicked, can't think of the last part. The labor of the wicked shall be whatever. What it's basically saying, there's got two people that laboring. And basically saying, you know, the righteous, what do they have in their favor? They have the favor of God. And the wicked, they're laboring without his favor. You know, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Okay? They don't have any confidence of God's blessing. Okay, what does a person need in their life more than anything else? They need God's blessing. Okay, so here's an important principle. Okay? So we talked about others in the last few weeks, okay? So, but we want to just think about those principles there. All right? Let's talk about something else with determination of a budget. What does a budget tell you? Number one, it tells you if you need to pray. You know what? If you don't, you know, I think you kind of look around here. A church really is a model of how you should have your personal budget. Okay? So we have this budget, and we publish this budget, and these aren't, you know, we're dealing with spiritual realities and spiritual work. And so, what do we do? What do we do as a result of it? Well, we pray. We say, oh boy, how's this going to happen? Well, we got to pray. What happens when you don't pray? No blessing, no provision. A budget causes people to pray. All right? And looking to the main the main provider of life. Okay? All right? What does a budget do? A budget causes people to work. Okay? If you don't have a budget that you go by, a couple things could happen. It says in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Okay? What's it saying? It says, you know, you can talk a lot and get nothing accomplished. You ever have that at camp? You know? Have a big meeting everybody's talking about what I, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, talk is cheap. Get out there and do it, right? I mean, sometimes that's the way it is. Now, sometimes you got to do planning. But here's a principle. Okay? A budget may say, hey, you know what? You need to work extra hours. A budget may say, You need to get another job. A budget may say, hey, you don't have money to go on a vacation. You know, some people got this idea they got to have vacation. But you ever realize that, and I realize that that's important, but maybe you just need to go home and get some sleep or something, you know, too. But on the other hand, you know, the guy that's always got to have vacation, what's happening when they're on vacation? They're doing two things. They're spending money. And number two, they're not making money. You know, when I worked for my dad when we started the church here. And actually, I didn't really like holidays. I didn't really enjoy Memorial Day or July 4th because we didn't work those days. And when you didn't work, you didn't get paid. And I was on a pretty tight budget, and missing one day of work in a month, boy, that hurt real bad. And so I wasn't really thrilled about, I mean, I liked holidays, and I liked the day off, but I didn't, because I didn't get paid for it. And all of a sudden, you begin to take a whole new view of life about things when you realize, whoa, boy, you got a budget and you have $5 at the end of left over at the end of the month. And now, all of a sudden, you miss a whole day's wages. Well, now you're in the negative. So a budget decides if you have to work or if you can play. A budget decides if you need to work more. A budget may decide that, there's some things that we need to do to help our budget. Okay. Now, I granted, I would say a small garden really probably costs more than it's worth, but a real garden feeds your family. A real garden feeds your family. Now, I'm not talking about a little garden. I'm talking about a real garden. You know, a garden where you grow enough beans for a whole year, and you grow enough corn for a whole year, and you grow enough potatoes for a whole year, and you grow enough squash for a whole year. You know, that's a real garden. Okay, now those aren't money losers. Those are money makers. Okay, and under Obama economics, the one thing that's going up the fastest is what? Your food bill, the debt. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Number three, a budget determines that there is a need to spend less on certain items or categories. Need to spend less on certain items or categories. You know, you don't have the ability like the Fed to print money out of the sky. They'll put you in jail if you do that. But Bernanke can do that. But you can't. Okay? Number four is amazing, but it is, you may need to look at your budget and you need to say, you know what, I need to give more. You look at how much you give, you might say, boy, I don't really give a tithe. Well, you better give more. You're in big trouble. Of course, if you're Catholic or Lutheran background, you haven't gotten your thinking right. You got to understand, you know, you need to tithe 5,000 times more than the church needs your tithe. Catholics and Lutherans, unsaved people, they think tithing is all about the church's need for money. Well, it's a little bit like that. But for you personally, it's 1,000 times more about your spiritual prosperity and your spiritual health than anything else. A Christian can't prosper if they don't tithe. It's not possible. They never will. Now, there needs to be a growth into tithing, but a Christian will never prosper spiritually if they don't tithe. You will never find one that prospers that doesn't tithe. It's not possible. Yes?
Something I think is also worth keeping in mind is we're supposed to tithe on the increase. So, I mean, let's say you have a... Of course, who knows how this will work with Obamacare right now, but let's say you have like a generous employer-provided health insurance or whatever.
Yep.
If you didn't have that, that would be a loss of, I mean, you'd have to pay a lot of money to get it. So that that's increase, that health insurance money. Even if it's not a physical dollar amount, it's still actually a benefit you're getting. That would be something that would be income, really.
Yeah. So here, let's talk about this. This is funny. This would be fun. Okay. Okay, if you were an employee of Chrysler Motors, okay, before the bankruptcy, how much did their wage and benefits cost the company per hour? $96 an hour. Okay? Now, I figure that typically an employer has to make 3 to 5 times as much money as they pay you to stay alive. That's what it costs them. So, but here's a good question. How many GM workers do you think tithe on $96 an hour? They didn't. But that's what it was costing the company to give them whatever their wage was, $16 to $25 an hour. Okay, well, that's a sidelight. Now let's go to something that's real practical here. Because I thought this would be a real illustrative way of putting these principles into practice. Children and budgets. Okay? We already talked about this a little bit. Children and budgets. When should a child begin to tithe?
As soon as they get money.
What do you think? When they start getting money. Okay? When do kids start getting money? Huh? Birthday presents, okay. All right. When should children have a budget? Okay. Children should have a budget as soon as they start having an income. Okay, so let's take the scenario of a child that doesn't have a budget. Okay, so a child that doesn't have a budget, what will a typical child do that doesn't have a budget? Spend it. So, what about self-discipline? What about planning for the future? Well, there's no planning for the future, is there? There's no Proverbs 6 there. What about guiding their heart spiritually? Their heart isn't being guided, isn't it? What about laying up for treasures for themselves in heaven? Most likely not. go on and on and on. Okay? So when should a child have a budget? A child should have a budget as soon as they have income. Okay? Now, how many heat bills do children have to pay? How many insurance bills they have to pay? Okay, so typically a child, let's say they're 3 years old. Okay, so a child at 3 years old doesn't have too many monthly expenses. Okay, so most of their income would be called expendable income. Okay, so what would you recommend for a three-year-old if you wanted them to serve the Lord, if you wanted them to learn self-discipline, if you wanted them to be called into the Lord's work? What would you recommend for a three-year-old? Okay, so the first thing is they learn how to give. So they ought to give a minimum of their tithe. But you know what? They ought to give to missions, shouldn't they? Yeah, so now you got above your tithe, your missions. Okay? So giving should be a pretty important part of their money. Okay, how about saving? Should that be a part of their budget?
Yes.
Okay. All right. How about spending? Okay. So let's just divide this into. Maybe we'll call it 10x. Okay? So let's say there should be 2x minimum. Saving. Well, how much spending? Yeah, maybe 1x. Okay. And then, so now, what do we have for saving? 7x. Now, we could vary it on top here. You know, we could make that 3x, 6x, 1x. Okay. But the bottom one is the one that's really needs to be really tightly monitored. Okay? And so at 3 years old, what are you teaching them? Self-discipline. Goals. Determining legitimate needs. Preparing for the future. Keeping their heart where they can be blessed of God. Preparing and teaching them where their treasure should be. Okay? Now, let's take a child. Let's take a child that now is 16 years old. Maybe we'll make it. Well, 16. They've never had a budget. Okay? Never had a real budget. Okay? Let's just say they're even in a Christian home. Okay? When their income is 10x. Okay? Let me ask a question. How hard is the 1x for their tithe going to be? That's going to be hard. Okay. What about missions? No way. Okay? Okay? Let's go. What about spending? Nine X probably. What about saving? Well, we don't have anything left. We just spent it all. Okay. Now, okay, so they got a revolution. Revelation came in their heart. Said, man, I really, my mom wants me to go to Bible college. Okay. So, I mean, if they gave the tithe, they, let's just say they kind of sort of got right with God. Okay, well, they're going to tithe. Now, you're tough. We might skip it once in a while. And that's not good. Because God knows. But saving for college? You know what goes in their mind? My 9X. Has to go up there. And this saving stuff is a big pain. It infringes on my selfish nature. And so, this and this are not pleasant. They're hard. And so, they look at Bible school or college, they look at that as an infringement on their rights. So let me ask you a question. Do you think they'll make it through? When the bill of $700, $800, $900 comes every month for 10 months of the year, think they'll make it through? How many vote that they'll make it through? The likelihood is very small. And you'll see this same person drop out of Bible college or whatever, and now they're back probably to that. And where will you see them? You'll probably see them buying a new car. Because you know you got to have reliable transportation. Right? Because they got back what they wanted in the very first place. They wanted back everything for themselves. Yes?
Pastor, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is if I got to pay for my own schooling, I sure do make all the effort possible to do as well as I can in school.
Say that again? Well, but you know, it's not that easy.
Nobody said it was.
You know, but if you're used to what the scenario we're painting is, if you're used to spending everything you've gotten, saving and giving your money for something that is elusive, you might say, like Bible school, what does the flesh say about that? Waste of money. I'm being infringed on what I could spend for myself. Understand how it goes? And And this is really an insight why a child at the earliest of age should learn how to save, not spend. And it's easier said than done, but whether they've learned how to save, and the parents should tell the child what they are saving for. They don't decide what they're saving for. You're telling them what they're saving for. Okay? And they it isn't their money. It's their money, but they're saving for such and such. Understand? Because why? Where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. You don't think that's pretty important for a parent to guide their children's heart? Yeah, I think it's real important. And guess what the Bible says? One of the key ingredients of guiding your child's heart? Money. Now, I realize there's other treasures, but in the context of Matthew, it is definitely talking about money. Yes?
My daughter's class, 27 nurses all dropped out but six. That is true about, they all dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
Six of them graduated. This is a Bible college, so that is a scenario.
Yeah, and then you take it to a place where there's no federal funding. But you make all of this much different, don't you? Okay? Make it all much different. And a budget for children. Okay? So let's go back to our original illustration. Here's a boy saving for a car. How expensive can a car be?
You don't want to go to Australia and buy a car.
But can a car be a bottomless pit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a car can be a bottomless pit, you know. You know, get special running boards and get the wide wheels, jack it up, you know, special mufflers. Huh? You know, the carburetor that comes through the hood, you know. I mean, you name it, you know. Boy, I tell you what, Chuck, what, dollars, right? Okay. And those dollars go really fast, don't they? And the more you spend on the wrong thing, the harder this becomes. And the harder this becomes to spend it on God's work. Yes?
I'm a prime example of that, Pastor. I had all those possessions, $30,000 Jeep, $12,000 motorcycle. I sold all those things to go to college, but I just paid off my debt. And I had maybe $1,000, $2,000 when I started as a freshman at West Coast. I had to work myself through college, 39 years old, working 50 hours a week. It was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If I had just budgeted earlier in my life, went to college when God called me, and not let the things of the world detract me and distract me from doing His will, I could have easily made the money, same job, paid my way through college.
Right.
And not had to go through that stress that almost killed
me. Yeah, it literally almost killed you because it almost kept you from doing God's will completely. Okay, Thomas?
Just one thing I think is also just worth thinking about is you can calculate it. If the average worker put in an IRA making an average like return compared to stocks over the course of his working career, instead of, like, if you gave the percentage that the government takes and you give him the Social Security tax, 15%, the average worker would be a millionaire when he retired. And so just the even in an IRA, the effect of compounding interest over 30 years, 40 years, you know, 3-year-old, 60 years, I mean, that's incredible, just what can grow just from it just sitting there.
Well, of course, a 3-year-old isn't going to be able to use that for 60 years because they're going to spend it all going to college. But, and again, there's a decision of life, what you're going to do. You know, what are you going to do with your life? And you know, you talk about the emotional, psychological bondage of free spending. It's huge. It's a huge bondage. And adults can't handle it very well. How could an 18-year-old handle it? You know? That's really difficult. And so, a budget for anyone is pretty significant. A budget for a child is pretty significant. Okay? Okay, our time is up. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'll use these truths as a blessing for our lives and for our people and for our young people. And pray that the principles that we speak of today, that you'd use them for us to be more careful, more cautious, more planning, do more planning in the area of each of our finances. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.